our brother Charles Zabowski from the LaSalle, Illinois class will be giving that discourse. And his subject is Precious in His Sight. Brother Zabowski.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, dear brethren. It's certainly good to look in all of your beautiful faces. Sister Marie and I are just happy and blessed for this privilege that we have, dear brethren, to be in your midst. As I look upon you, in my mind, I think about each and every one of you, and I know that you are all precious in God's sight. Precious as a jewel, a rare jewel, a gem of a high price, a great price. And I do believe that our Heavenly Father is looking upon us now as we meet in His name of His dear Son, Jesus. And I know that our Lord Himself is here with us. And I'm just thinking of these gems. And it comes to my mind when we go into and a lot of you probably have been into a jewelry store, and you look at the jewelry case, and you see these gems lined up in this case. Well, they don't look so good if there's not a light on them. But if you will notice, a lot of times the jeweler tries to be tricky, and he saves on light, so he doesn't turn on the light until he gets a customer. Then he turns on that light, and all of a sudden, those gems just sparkle. They're beautiful. There's a gem there. I look at diamond. There's a ruby over here. There's a topaz. There's so many different colored gems. And they just shine out beautifully. And then as we look on, this one is so pretty, and that one is so pretty, and this other one. And then we look a little farther, and we see a cluster of gems. All of a sudden, it seems to light up, and all of these beautiful colors sparkle in that light so that it makes something of beauty, something to want to look at. So I believe, dear friends, as we're gathered here today, and our Lord is with us, and He is the light of the world. And when we don't see Him, dear friends, but oh, He is, because He's making our hearts so happy. And His light shines upon us, dear friends, and to God it's beautiful. It's beautiful in God's sight. But we're not going to talk too much about ourselves. We're going to talk about one precious one that has been with the Lord for times and times and times, eons of times. We can picture that Logos, which was so precious in God's sight. Our Lord Jesus, as the Logos, the only begotten of the Father, that's in John 1:14, truly was precious to the Heavenly Father. It is written, I was by Him as one brought up with Him. I was daily His delight. Rejoicing always before Him. And that's Proverbs 8:30. He was always His delight. He was always willing to do the Father's will, and He always did the Father's will. But the time came, dear friends. The scriptures say that when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son. And we know what He sent Him for, to pay that ransom for Adam. The question was, who shall we send? This conversation I picture is going on between our Heavenly Father and His dear Son. Whom shall we send? I can picture our dear Lord saying, Father, send me. Giving up all this wealth that he had, everything that was about honor, glory, riches, give it up to become this little man. Even though he was perfect, he was still a little more than the angels. He was willing to become that servant. Can you imagine how precious he was in the sight of God, in the sight of his Father? And he came down, and as this was prophesied, he was born of a virgin. And when he reached the age of 30, he consecrated himself to fulfill this will of the Father. And after, can you picture the scene of John the Baptist raising our Lord up from the water and saying, and hearing this voice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, brethren, how precious was this perfect human being as he came out of the water to the Lord. I think that Father just loved him more than anything else. And then we see the Apostle Peter speaking of those dear consecrated ones that consecrated themselves to do the will of the Father and to follow in the footsteps of their Master Jesus, to walk as he walked, to sacrifice his love for righteousness or their loves for righteousness, even unto death, doing the Father's will, counting their own will as dead. Peter's words are these: if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and we all have, dear brother, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Now, who is that living stone, my brethren? Our Lord Jesus. The only way that we could ever come to our Heavenly Father is through him, through that living stone. No other way, dear friends. Only through that living stone. And then it said here, disallowed of men. The world doesn't care for us, brethren. They don't care whether we live or die. We're not even a religion to them, they exclaim. We're a cult. But chosen of God and precious, brethren. Chosen of God and very precious to the Heavenly Father. They know that they must come to Jesus every time they can. They come to him as that living stone. They also know that they'll be rejected of men. But in God's sight, they are the choice ones, the precious ones. And he watches those precious ones as the apple of his eye. And he hides them under the shadow of his wing. What a beautiful thing. His care is always over us. And we read the October 17th manna. It says, so close to his heart does Jehovah gather his loyal and faithful children that they feel the warmth of his love. Don't you feel the warmth of his love, brethren? We love one another. We're happy to be together. Our desire is to really be together and have sweet fellowship with one another. We are under his protection. He says, we feel the warmth of his love, and the responsive language of their hearts, that is, our hearts, is, I will abide in thy tabernacle under thy protection. How long? Forever and ever. Apostle Peter writes, cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. He loves you. You're precious to him. Isaiah writes, I'll forget about Isaiah at this time. So with all of this turmoil that we have today, with all of this hate and trouble and fear throughout the entire world, the Lord's precious ones are at peace and rejoicing in the world. Do you realize what's going on in this world right now? I don't think we care, do we? But we're at peace, rejoicing in the Lord. We realize, brethren, that it is Satan and not Jehovah that is the God of this order. But from all indications, my brethren, it seems that it will not be long till God's kingdom will be established and Satan will be bound. And we can see then that all things that are going on in this whole world will be straightened out by our Lord's and the church's reign. So, brethren, we can compare this to a hurricane. We've all heard about a hurricane, and some of you probably have seen an hurricane or felt the effects of it. A hurricane is a good illustration of the trouble of this day, and to where the child of God is pictured in it, in this hurricane. The hurricane is very destructive, with tremendous winds and great waves that overflow the land and bring suffering, pain, and even death to the people. But you know, dear friends, they tell me, I've never been in it, but right in the center of that hurricane, there is a great calm. It's calm inside of that hurricane, right in the center of it. This hurricane, I believe, pictures the world and the condition that the world is in. The winds of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils are blowing harder and harder. It tells us, in the latter days, that is in our days, dear brethren, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is what's going on now, dear brethren. Just listen to what Jesus said. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, that they shall deceive even the very elect. Matthew 24:24. And then again, we see not only the doctrines of devils going about, but we see their henchmen carrying it out, and it is the winds of doctrines of men. We see that, dear friends, the winds and the doctrines of men are working so hard to draw away people for themselves, for profit, dear brethren. And the scripture says, but in vain they do worship, teaching for a doctrine the commandments of Man tells us that very plain. The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths. And honoreth me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. That was Jesus' words. Matthew 15:8. The New English Bible translation says, they pay me only lip service. Pay me only lip service. That's all it's worth. You see the sea of humanity churning, turning with destruction and boisterous waves. Now Jesus predicted this when he says, upon the earth there shall be distress of nations, with perplexity their friends, no way out entirely. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing for fear and for looking after these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens have been shaken. Luke 21:25-26. This, my brethren, is the picture of today. The end of an age. The English translation Bible says, on earth, nations will stand helpless. Nations will stand helpless. Don't you see it, dear brethren? They don't know what to do. Who to go to? Who to turn to? We don't want to talk about the president or anything, but the fact is that one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. So this is the condition that is coming upon the earth. Let's look at the religious element of this order. What Jesus said in his day regarding the scribes and the Pharisees, we can apply them truly to our day, to this end of the age. When he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he said to them, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. We had this text read yesterday. But are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Read the papers, dear friends. If you even listen to the radio, if you to any extent watch television, need I say more? You see what's going on. You can't turn on the TV set unless it's something about what's happening in the religious order. You can't listen to a radio that you don't hear anything about it. And you can't read a newspaper unless you see these things. There's confusion and there is unrest in the entire world, in politics, in finances, in education, in labor, religion, wherever you look, doesn't make any difference. There's trouble and confusion. Thank God, dear brethren, that the Lord has opened up our eyes that we can see. He's taken the scale off that we are able to see these things that are coming to pass. Jesus said, if ye were of the world would live its own. But because you are not of the world, but have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And my brethren, it does hate us. We are an enemy of theirs. Oh yes, brethren, we're in this world, but not in it. Not of it, excuse me. Paul writes, let the peace of God rule in our hearts, remembering that as members of the one body, you are to live harmoniously. Put all of our effort to live harmoniously. Colossians 3:15, and that's the Phillips translation. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 4:17. But you remember I said that there was a place of tranquility, quietness in this great hurricane. You know, I can picture that. You know all that trouble that's going about now? Here we sit, right in the middle of it. And are happy that these things are going about. We're happy to realize the fact that the kingdom is really at the door. And our homes are this quiet resting place also. In our homes we can pray, we can study, we can praise our Heavenly Father. This center of the hurricane, in the center of the hurricane, we can compare it to our studies, where we gather together. We can have sweet fellowship, one with the other, not with the world, but one with the other. With those of like precious faith. And share these precious words that are written in God's Word, and have peace and quiet. At a convention such as this, we can praise our Heavenly Father through discourses, through prayers that we have. We can praise Him with our hymns, raise up our voices, and in our testimonies. And you know, the way I feel is when we do all of these things, it's like the old song of long ago. Some of you youngsters probably don't remember this song, but it says, "And let the rest of the world go by." Go bye-bye sometime. Because we don't like disorder. It isn't for God's people. We dare not go out into the storm to go to these people. But we can, through radio, television, and so forth, bring them the message of the kingdom. And dear friends, you know, if we do these things, if we truly are willing to sacrifice our lives to do the Father's will, His love, my brethren, will be a comfort and a joy to all of us. His wisdom will direct our way, will direct our every step that we take. His power, my brethren, will protect us from the evil one. His justice will give us understanding and peace. The psalmist tells us that an angel of the Lord encamped round about them that reverence Him, them that are precious in His sight, and He will deliver them. Thou shalt be as a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. And you remember, dear brethren, that when I was talking about these beautiful gems in the cluster, one more beautiful than the other, and the sun of righteousness shining upon them. We will, my dear brethren, be as that diadem. Remember reading in Isaiah 62:3, that beautiful diadem, and where will we sit? In the hand of our Heavenly Father. He'll be proud of that diadem. He'll love it, and it will be precious to Him. And Just now, dear friends, too, just imagine how those little sparkles coming from each and every one of those precious stones comes out, bubbling out in their different colors. And what a wonderful sight, dear friend. So let us always have in mind that we are jewels in that diadem. We will be jewels in that diadem with our Heavenly Father, in our Heavenly Father's hand. And may God bless each and every one of you. And I got a beautiful blessing out of yesterday's meeting, meeting all of these dear ones from the foreign lands. And it was certainly a joy, and I thank the Heavenly Father for this privilege. Thank you again, dear brother.
Now to hymn number 340, Onward Christian Soldiers, that's Appendix G. We will sing the first